This is the Man in Line on location.
Hey, faster by. Good afternoon. Welcome to QE2 in Peel. We're talking to the Year 12s today about, well, what is their world? They're able to vote in the election coming up later on this year, so we'll hear what they have to say. All sorts of comments. Perhaps we'll talk about the Year of the Manx Language. We'll talk about the social media changes that may be coming, certainly the ones that are in Britain. Did anybody here actually meet Brad Pitt? Who's going to be watching Wimbledon? Who's going to win the World Cup? And, well, anything else that they come up with? We're live at QE2 in Peel on Man in Line. Onnie's with us, first of all, today. Onnie, will you be voting in the general election?
I will be voting in the general election.
Okay.
I applied to vote last year when I was 16, and my mum put me right on the registering.
Yeah.
But I think for young people, there's not that much interest with Manx politics, and whether that is just like a lack of knowledge or just a general lack of interest, but I think the politicians need to kind of make their way to the young people and say, look, this is who I am, this is what I'm about, because otherwise they just don't know. So it's a bit of a catch-22 with, like, young people don't know anything, so they don't bother to find out, but politicians also aren't coming to actively tell them anything.
What's big in Manx politics? Do you follow Manx politics at all?
I try to keep up with it.
What do you think is the biggest thing in Manx politics at the moment?
Well, I think there's the whole thing about the wind farms at the moment, which has divided so many opinions. But I think Tim Wald is focusing so much on that, and yet so many people have been talking about other things, like the horse trams, for example, that they want to kind of push more for, and the Tim Wald, they're just not really listening to what the people want and are pushing for this wind farm thing, which is so controversial.
What's your opinion on the wind farms?
I think
it's okay not to have one, if you, by the way.
I think it is a difficult one, because I think there's definitely pros and cons, but I think the wind farm that already exists that disrupted the steam packet company, and there's like so many other issues about their lifespan and what happens when in 20 years they stop working, where do they go? So I think there are a lot of pros and cons to weigh up, but I kind of think the cons are more than the pros.
Okay, and Julianne, will you be voting in September?
Personally, I hate to admit it, but I don't really know much about like the elections on the Isle of Man, but I will be considering it, even though I should probably do a bit more research on what's going on politically.
I mean, nothing's taught in school about the Manx politics, is it? Is there anything on the curriculum?
Not really, no. It's more like you look for it personally on the internet, or like your parents occasionally
right.
tell you what's going on politically on the island.
And will you be heading to university? You had another year to go, so a year in September. Are you looking towards university?
I am looking towards university,
and
yes.
What will you be studying?
Studying in university. I'm leaning more towards psychology or English, something to do with creative writing around that area, something like that.
You didn't meet Brad Pitt, did you?
Unfortunately, I missed Brad Pitt just about. I kept seeing people post about him on the internet, classmates as well, and I'm really upset about it, actually.
Angelique, will you be voting in September?
I think I should vote yeah. around September, but as Ani said, I don't have much knowledge about it, definitely because I'm not really that interested. But
have you been watching the World Cup?
I think I watched the one with like Japan.
Yeah.
But I wasn't too interested about it, but I did watch it. It was quite good.
Chantel, with a famous name. Did you watch the World Cup?
Yeah, I have actually been keeping up with the World Cup with my dad.
You know there's another month to go.
I know, yeah, it's quite a lot.
Don't plan on sleeping.
No.
Will you be voting in September?
Unfortunately, I think I should as well, but I don't have much knowledge on Manx, like politics and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I haven't actually thought about it. I might need to do further research if I actually do want to do any voting for
Jacob,
it.
Jacob, will you vote in September?
Well, I I don't really know much about it, like we said before. I don't know anything about any sort of politics. I'm not into that sort of thing.
Who's the chief minister of the Isle of Man?
I couldn't tell you.
Can you name any Manx politicians?
No. No. I know nothing about any sort of that stuff. I don't...
Are you going to be going to university? You're looking forward to university at all. It's a year in September it'll be, won't it?
Yeah, but I'm not really planning on going. I don't really want to. I don't think it's my sort of thing.
Will you be looking to get a job?
Yeah, definitely.
Probably. And what sort of employment would you be looking at?
Well, right now I've been looking towards the teaching sort of stuff, but I don't know if I will need to go to uni, so I'm still considering it a little bit.
Yeah.
But if I can do any sort of like online course where I can stay here and do it, then I will.
Okay. Karen's over here as well. Karen, you're a Manx speaker, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. What do you make of the Year of the Manx Language?
I think it's brilliant, yeah.
I mean, bearing in mind that maybe in the 1950s, the Manx language nearly died. I mean, there were very few speakers. And it's very healthy at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's doing great. We've got more speakers than probably within the past 100 years, really. And, it's doing great. A lot of more young people learning it.
And what drew you to the Manx language?
I went to a Manx primary school called Unbunskol Gilgash.
Oh, right. The one at St. John's?
Yeah, that's the one.
And of course, that for those who don't know, everything's taught in Manx.
Yeah, it's a school where all the lessons are taught in Manx. Well, except English, of course. But
good. And Frank's next to you as well, Manx speaker as well, Frank.
Yeah. Just did my last A level exam for Manx today. Actually, we all did.
And how was it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, they're usually pretty relaxed because, like, when it comes to the Manx speakers, everyone's friends, everyone knows each other, so they're quite, like, low-pressure, sort of fun to do.
Can you imagine what it must have been like 70-odd years ago when speaking Manx, and people used to get clouted around the ear for speaking Manx. You know,
yeah.
It was thought of as it's something you didn't need to learn, and there were half a dozen people in the 1950s who made it their life's work to get it to happen.
Yeah, I think the attitude people had towards it was one of the reasons that it sort of died.
Yeah.
You know, people weren't up for, they didn't really care. They like, well, who cares? Everyone speaks English. That's just easier. But really, it's a big advantage to be able to speak a different language, and especially one that's so rare.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
But I mean, obviously, you can walk around Ireland and people will know what you're saying.
Yeah.
By speaking Manx, it's a big transferable skill. So why do you think to the unbelievers, why would you say that Manx is important and it has to stay and get bigger?
Well, it's just the obvious, like, just making sure it doesn't die, you know, again, because we're on such a good, you know, trajectory. I think they're trying to get to, how many speakers? Is it like 5,000? I can't quite remember, like 5,000 in the next 10 years or something. I'm not quite sure, but I feel like kids should like feel encouraged to learn it, just to be a part of the community and the culture.
Good. Ewan's next to you as well. Did you do the A level as well?
Yeah, so we sat the listening paper this morning. Yeah, it was quite an interesting one. There was some, I remember it was in the reading one, they brought about the issue of wind farms in it. There was a paragraph from a man named Rooney in the paper, and he was on about, give your own opinion as well on the Manx language in the writing paper, and you could bring up issues like wind farms and so on. So, yeah, I mean, the paper this morning was interesting, and it was good.
And what do you think about the wind farms?
I think, to be honest with you, I think it's a good idea. Foundationally, it's good to go for renewable energy, and it'll be good if the Isle of Man could become self-sustainable, and it would be good as well if we could become self-reliable also. We don't need to rely on other countries like the UK to produce our energy.
Right. And would this be the onshore wind farm in the south or the offshore wind farm off the east coast?
My opinion's on the offshore wind farm.
The offshore wind farm. TK's with us now, and will you be voting in September, TK?
Unfortunately, I won't, because I don't really know much about politics on the Isle of Man, so I'm just not bothered.
Okay. Who's going to win the World Cup then?
If I had to choose one country, I'd say France. They've got the best team at the moment. Played some bad football yesterday in the first half, but in the second half they showed what they're really made of and showed that they can win these games when they need to.
You didn't have an A-level today, did you?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Watching this football in the middle of the night, yes.
Yeah, perfect.
That's good. Yeah, and are you looking towards university?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Have you got a university in mind?
I haven't decided which university yet, but I'm thinking of studying architecture or mechanical engineering. That's where my head's at right now.
With a view to doing what as a career?
Become an architect, make loads of money. Yeah.
Well, that's a good idea. Kira's with us now. And Kira, will you be voting?
Yes, I will be. Yeah.
Okay. And do you know, I mean, what are hot topics around at the moment?
Obviously, there's a wind farm one. And I think one of the ones that's been popular, especially around Peel right now, have been the speed limits that have come in. So it's gone from 30s to 20s in a lot of zones. That decision's already been made, but there's a lot of other small things like where money is going to get delegated across schools and stuff, which I'm personally really passionate about.
In what way?
Like, I think, well, funding for schools and funding for care centres and funding for all these things, I don't think you can ever overfund them. And I think the Alaman does an amazing job and sets a great example for how the money is delegated. And so I think we kind of need to keep going a bit with that, but also maybe if we could.
And go back to the speed limits. I mean, 20 miles per hour. Are there 20 miles per hour limits around Peel?
Yeah, it is. They started off in Douglas. I don't know how far they've managed to get.
You can't get up above 20 miles per hour in Peel, can you?
Well, yeah. Not with all the cars parked, no. But everywhere that was a 30 zone has been made a 20 zone, except for, obviously, other circumstances.
Yesterday, the big news in politics yesterday was the assisted dying bill.
Yeah.
And the fact that people may soon be able to end their own lives legally on the Isle of Man. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Look, I think it's such a difficult topic. And I think for many people, it's incredibly, not myself, but a lot of people, it's going to be so uncomfortable to talk about. However, like, these people, it's not like you're just going, oh, I had a bad day, let me just go and, you know, use assisted dying. These people are in pain and they're ill. And look, I think it's a good thing, in my opinion.
Okay. Ani, what are your thoughts on that?
I think, yeah, the assisted dying bill is a very, it is a difficult one for sure. And I think it's a very sensitive topic for a lot of people. I think my view on it is that if you look at places like Canada, which have introduced it, all the safeguards, like majority of them, have just been stripped back and back because it comes to the point of like who decides who's bad enough to die. And like it is a very difficult conversation. But in Canada, people with mental health issues were given the option to use the assisted dying. And my fear would just be that those safeguards are kind of stripped away here as well.
And that's what they were talking about yesterday, because we sent it over to the UK and they knocked it back. Mm-hmm. So they were putting some amendments in yesterday.
Yeah.
And as you say, it's a very difficult subject, a very personal subject to many people. But in principle, would you agree with it?
I think circumstances do matter a lot. And I think if it is kinder to a person, then yeah. But I do think it is a very difficult it is just a very difficult topic, and it is sensitive.
Julianne, the UK are going to ban social media for under 16-year-olds next year, and that may come in over here. Do you think that's a good idea?
Personally, I do think it's quite a good idea. Cause
what are the rules here, by the way, with mobile phones?
Mobile phones in school, as far as I know, I think any other year below sixth form isn't allowed to have them in school. I think it's a good thing so they can be more focused on education. However, people do ignore it. And I was to say that I was also one of the person who ignored it. So I think they need to reinforce it a little bit more to help with some of the education in the school as well. And on the island specifically, I'm not really sure about like anything like banning children from like younger ages here. I think it's more in the UK that it's more strict.
Mm. Do you think you'd be able to stop 15-year-olds going on social media on their phone here?
You know, as someone of like Gen Z, it's kind of impossible to get people to stop doing something. We have, I guess, kind of prone to just not listening. And we always find ways to, you know, get access to the internet and, you know, making other accounts under different names, different passports, even like using a VPN in a different country. You can kind of just, it's kind of hard to just stop them from doing anything.
Okay. Chantel, what do you think about under 16-year-olds not getting social media?
Well, I think it's actually a good thing because recently social media has become extremely dangerous. And I know personally when, like, if I had kids, I would not want them being on social media at, like, 10 years old and then, like, seeing horrible stuff on there. And then on top of that, like what Julianne said, it is a bit difficult because, like, obviously the apps do have also certain restrictions on the cells, but you can always, like, put a fake birthday on there and it automatically letting you in. So it is kind of hard to stop the children from doing it. But I think, like, the 16-year-old restriction is quite a good thing as well.
Well, your generation has grown up with social media. Yeah. You've probably never known anything but social media.
Yeah, that is true.
And there's, I mean, how much time do you spend on social media? You can be honest.
I actually do spend quite some time on social media, yes.
You know, in your weekly report, screen time, what does it say?
I'm actually not sure. I haven't checked for this week yet, but it's probably fairly high. It's usually quite high, but it is a mixture of different stuff because I don't only like use my phone for social media, so it's quite a mixture of stuff. But
what's your social media? What do you go on?
Insta, TikTok,
Snapchat.
Yeah.
What about the old person's one? Facebook.
Oh, Facebook. Facebook every now and then, not very often, but yeah, mainly TikTok and Insta.
Jacob, do you go on social media?
I do. Yeah.
Which one?
What Chantel just said, Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat. I do go on Facebook quite a lot.
Well, you lower the average age if you go on Facebook. So, will you be able to stop other 16-year-olds going on social media, do you think?
Probably not. I feel like with a lot of them now, they grew up with social media and they're so used to it that they won't know what to do about it.
Yeah. How do you, I mean, the reason for all this is because we all know there's a dark side to social media. We all know there's a bad side. How do we stop that?
Well, like, restrictions, like, some apps could indicate, like, face IDs where people could scan their face every time they log on to, like, a certain app where the phone knows that they're under the certain age. So, like, but most people will just get their parents to do it, but it depends on the parents if they want their child going on that certain social media or something like that.
So the parents have got to play a part in it.
Yeah, but it's both sides of the conversation, because some kids will just find other ways of getting on it. So,
Oni?
This is, like, I do think social media can be very harmful, but my kind of angle at it is that why is it the kids that are being, like, punished or restricted by it? Because it's the adults making the content that should be penalised and that should be, like, they should be the ones get criminalised and stuff. Like, whether children are on those apps or not, that content is still being pushed out to people. And I think the fact that it's been pushed out on platforms that adults probably know that children use, it's like how vape products are they're marketed to be like appealing to children. In the same way, I think these people are pushing that content onto platforms they know children will be on, which I think is the wrong thing.
So when you say it's the adults' fault for creating this stuff. So how do you stop that?
Tighter restriction. I think it should be, the focus should be shifted onto that instead of onto the kids, basically.
Okay, Kira?
I think that it's actually really not a good idea. I think that the people that are creating it are much older than us, have much different understandings of us. And something that I always hear about this is when people are talking about children being on their phones all the time, you know, their argument is always, you know, why don't you go out and play in a park? Why don't you go outside and socialize like that? But what people are neglecting is these are COVID kids. They actually couldn't go outside. And in their formative years, the way that they learnt their personality, the way that they developed socially was via social media. And saying that you can't go on social media, that's taking away these children's crutches. That's basically saying to them, you know, you've been put in this situation, you've learned to develop like this, we're going to take it away. And that's not neglecting, you know, the horrible downsides of social media. However, if you tell kids to get off these regulated platforms, they're not going to throw their phone away, they're not going to go out and play in a park, they're just going to go on unregulated sites that don't have these safety devices. And also, when children turn 16, it's still the whole same world that they're going to go out and be able to see.
Okay, Frank?
I agree with Kira in the fact it's not, I don't think it's a good idea personally. And I think that a point I've seen a few times is, and I completely agree with, is that they shouldn't be focusing on restrictions and more giving opportunities for them to do something else. Like, they need to be giving more funding to, like, why don't they give more funding to youth clubs or sports clubs in order for them to actually go out and do those things instead? Like, as Kira said, they say, like, oh, go outside. You know, if there were better resources for kids to, like, you know, clubs and stuff to go out and do those things, maybe they'd be doing, you know, more productive things.
So what used to be called an old-fashioned youth club?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And then I know there are youth clubs on the Isle of Man, but that's not the only example. Like, as I say, like, more sports clubs, extracurriculars that kids can be doing instead of just going to school and then go home and scroll on social media.
I mean, Frank, we all know there's a really bad side to social media.
Yeah,
and
obviously.
And for some 12, 13-year-olds, if they see something, they can't unsee it, can't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, and, like, I think, like, with that side, I completely agree with, like, Oni when she said, why aren't the people posting the videos being restricted and not the people watching the videos? And, like, I keep going back to their points, but, like, Kira, like, okay, but, like, it's banned, but then as soon as you turn 16, now you can see it. So what's the difference?
Okay, Karen?
In my personal opinion, I think the UK government's kind of mainly using this just an excuse to get people to upload their IDs to social media.
You think digital IDs behind this?
Yeah, I think so. I think the UK government just wants to kind of track who's on what and who specifically is posting what and things like that. They're trying to take the anonymity out of social media, I think. But, I mean, I do think that it's also an issue that children are on social media. But then again, we've all grown up on social media and we've turned out fine. So,
Right, well, that's fine. Going to be back with QE2 in just a few moments' time.
Make Athol Airport Parking your wash-and-go partner when parking at the airport. With no advance booking required, simply park your car in the designated Athol rental return spaces right next to the terminal. Hand your key to our valet desk, and while you're away, we'll wash your vehicle and return your car to the terminal for when you get back. For prices and our full range of services, including comprehensive valeting menu, just search Athol Airport Parking online. Athol Airport Parking, part of the trusted Athol Garage Group.
Chain, there's no chain, the chain's jumped off the sprocket.
Motorcycle racing is back this Sunday on the Derby Airfield for the Andreas Racing Association's meeting. Under 16s get in free, adults are £6, there's full facilities, come and see us trackside.
SMS Trading, new and second-hand furniture from flat pack to fully built. See our range at 3 St Paul Square, Ramsey. All island delivery and man-in-a-van service available. Call SMS Trading on 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
Corkhill Storage, Corkhill Storage. Call Corkhill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lot. Visit CorkhillRemovals.com.
We'll be right back. Ramsey Care Products is now opened in St Paul's Square, Ramsey, an Aladdin's Cave of stock including mobility scooters, Rise recliners, household aids and more. Call 627-177 to find out more. Ramsey Care Products, affordable mobility solutions for you.
The countdown to the 2026 general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who should represent you in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. But what are the things you really want to know from your candidates? How they feel about wind farms? What they do to improve healthcare? Or how they plan to tackle government efficiency? Whatever it is, if you have a burning question for those standing, we want to hear from you. You can find out how and everything else you need to know about the upcoming election on our dedicated election website. Just head to manxradio.com.
This is the Man in Line on Location.
It's about 12:30. We're live in Peel. It's a gorgeous day in Peel, and Kira is on again. Kira, what was your point?
Just back on the social media ban, I think that people also need to think about the way that the workplace is currently set up. So if you go in and you get a job, you need these online skills, and they're imperative to any job, even if it has no relevance to it. So taking away these kids' social media skills, which I know sounds a bit silly to say you need social media for a job, but you actually do. And so I would suggest having like a rollout technique, because these kids, they know everything about social media. They know how to work it. If you just, like, it's not going to work.
Well, they know more than most adults.
Exactly, yeah. And so they know how to get around what these adults are setting in place. These people are way older than us that are setting the rules. So what, in my ideal world, should be done is make it a rollout technique. Say anyone born after 2027 or 2026, so people born in 2027, don't get social media until they're not raised with that crutch and it's not torn away from them.
Julianne.
Yeah, just on the topic of social media, I think we can all agree that something to do with AI has gotten really bad, especially in school, because I do A-level English language, and I see like the teachers, they're grading their papers and so many things about students using AI to just do it for them, because it's such an easy resource to have, like, get the hand of, especially in like big essay subjects that you kind of just generally just need to use your brain for.
Julianne, like, you can be honest. Have you ever used AI for your homework?
I'm proud to say that I haven't. Yeah. Okay, people are shaking their heads in this room, but I assure you I have not used AI.
It's tempting though, isn't it?
It's tempting, it really is, because obviously it's a human like nature to like struggle and be like, I can't do this, and it's really easy to just give up. It's generally like, it's such a tempting thing to use, and obviously so easy to access for everyone from like any age. And I know a lot of adults who use it just in general for like their normal day-to-day jobs. But like, for some reason I feel like it's kind of a weak subject for younger children, because it sort of like hinders their development of like letting them think for themselves, and they have to like rely on something else besides other people or like teachers. They go immediately to the internet, and sometimes it's not always right. So
Angelique, do you use AI at all?
Yes, I sometimes do, yes. I used to use it for like, I guess, revision like tips and like, you know, how to manage my time and like I guess back when I was in year 11, I did use AI for some of my subjects, I have to admit.
Do you think the use of AI is going to get bigger and bigger? Because we hear all the time in the news that AI is going to take over the world.
I think AI is going to advance more and more. That's why, like, I really wanted to study computer science or something IT related in uni, but my mother like told me, like, you have to pick something else. It's going to get taken over by AI. So It's sad to say that, like, I guess AI is going to take over at some point.
So what will you study that AI can't threaten?
I have no idea. I guess medical care is, I don't think that could get taken over by AI, because I don't think you would want to get taken care of by a robot, or being like in surgery and a robot's like doing the surgery for you. Like, I wouldn't trust that.
Chantel?
So I think AI is quite bad, because like, yes, I have used it, and I do use it like every now and then.
Can
to
the
help
teachers
me
tell
stuff.
If you use it in homework?
Yes, they do have like a like website to check it, which I also think is an AI website using that they're using to check for AI. So I think it's really bad, because a lot of people are starting to rely way too much on AI and not like your everyday things, like just using common knowledge. So I feel like it'll kind of get to the point where like they'd rely so much on AI that they can't like do things on their own. Like, even now, I was like speaking to my parents the other day about how their friends are starting businesses, just like typing it into AI and boom, they've got a business. So it's quite bad because AI is actually taking over of like a bunch of stuff and soon won't be good anymore. Like, it started off as a good cause but ended off like being taken advantage of.
Okay, Frank?
I think like with the whole AI being used in schools, I think it can be a really, really helpful tool for revision. Like, I use it all the time. Like, you have all of these sites that teachers recommend to go through questions and stuff, but a lot of the time they're not built very well. They're a bit finicky, whereas I can just maybe make some flashcards, or some, I don't even need to give it any prompt really, and I can just be like, here's my subject, here's the board I'm using, can you just test me? I've done so many things where it's just given me questions and I can answer them and it'll give me feedback, and I think that's a really helpful tool.
And do you trust it?
Mostly I trust it. I don't use it like, I don't put all my knowledge from AI, but I think it is good for testing stuff that you already have some sort of grasp of.
What's AI like with Manx?
Not good.
Yes.
No. It's really, I mean, especially this will be the first, our year doing A-level now, we'll be the first A-level where we have AI to our, you know, disposal. And like, even we don't even bother because it's just useless. And
so what doesn't AI get about Manx? Is it the spelling or what?
Just everything, to be honest, because there's so many different rules, and like a lot of languages, yeah. All languages have specific rules for sentence formation and spelling, and if it's this context, you might spell it differently or use a different word depending on what, you know, if it's feminine or masculine, yeah. And it just doesn't understand that. And I don't think it'll ever will, really. I don't think AI, at least in the next quite a few years, will be able to grasp like all the rules and be able to be a reliable source for Manx.
Well, it's heartwarming to know that Manx has beaten AI.
Yes.
Kira now.
So while I think that we shouldn't use AI for simple things like schoolwork, I think, you know, I agree with Frank, it can be such a useful tool. And I think a lot of people are misinformed about AI. So a lot of the times when my dad like does stuff with that to do at work with AI and stuff. And so a lot of the time when I'm talking to my friends about it, their counter arguments to, you know, saying like, oh, I'm not going to use AI, a lot of the time is like the environmental impact and all of this different type of stuff.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? Because it uses a lot of water, doesn't it?
So does every other server farms are enormous. Thing. Yeah. Like, obviously, I don't use AI properly. And I think that what it does to the environment is, like, bad, but it seems a bit hypocritical for people to be having that be their only leg that they stand on. And then also use TikTok. I think there's not enough information out there and not enough, like, you know, people aren't informed about thinking that them not using AI is saving water, but it's actually not, because you're on your computer 7 hours a day. Like, you're still using so much water. So that's, I guess, my thing about the environmental side.
Oni?
I think the thing about AI at the moment is I don't think it's as smart as people think it is. Like, I think people have said, like, oh, it's taken over the world. But I think at the moment it is just, it only grabs things that are already out there. It's just recycling information. Like, it's not autonomously thinking for itself. So I don't think it's as smart as people think. But I really liked the Pope's take on AI. I liked his encyclical. I thought it was great. And how I think we just are forgetting that, like, being human, like our answers aren't for like critical thinking subjects, our answers are supposed to be individual. Like, you're not supposed to have the same opinion as all these other people that have written it on the internet, and ChatGPT is giving it right back to you. So yeah.
Well, it's I'm trying to think, what's that test called? The Turing test, isn't it? About Alan Turing, the guy. And it's about whether a computer can think and whether there will be actual intelligence. Mm-hmm. Or, as you say, whether it'll just be replicating what's there. Mm-hmm. So you think it takes a bit of humanity out of it?
Yeah, I think I think it kind of takes a bit of power away from this big fear of it. I personally have tried to like use it as little as I can because I do quite creative subjects, so I don't think it has a place in those.
Julianne?
Yeah, I was just going right off of what Ani was saying. Due to like creative subjects, it takes away the authenticity that artists and writers and anything in the creative field have developed. Like, we have amazing things, well, quote unquote amazing. Shakespeare created so many words for the English language, and other things like dramas, movies, anything that's like legendary, amazing things already just getting robbed by AI. And it's everyone keeps going to just,
well, you
like,
can say to AI, I want a book combining two or three different books and write me 20,000 words on it, and it'll do it.
It will do it, but it feels so fake and obviously artificial, because like there's like pure passion and love going into things like writing, painting, anything to do with like art, creativity. It's like honestly painful as someone who does like to do art, and a lot of like my other like friends do art as well. They always like discuss things about like how painful it is that art is basically just like stealing, obviously what they said, stealing things that already exist. It's like nothing's original anymore. But like coming up with new ideas instead of just like taking it from like an algorithm feels more joyous in that sense.
Okay. TK, when you go to university, will you come back to the Isle of Man?
I think I will, actually.
Yeah?
It's nice and quiet, you know. I think I've found my home here.
You see, lots of young people go away to university and never come back. Never come back because the Isle of Man, they like the big city atmosphere in lots of other cities.
I think after uni, I'm definitely going to come back because it's nice and quiet. I can go out at night without having to worry about being in danger when going back home. I've met some good people here as well, got some nice friends. And yeah, you know, it's just nice, quiet life. You don't have to worry too much about other stuff.
Yeah. Ewan, are you going to university?
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you ask me the same question, I don't think it's really a choice for me. I think I'm still going to come back here because I feel like growing up on this island, like embracing all the culture, I feel like I need the urge to give back because this island's given me so much. I've made so much new friends, like connections with new people. I think I kind of have a duty to give back to what's given me so much that I've got today.
Okay, and what subject will he take at university? Have you any idea?
So I'm eyeing up like a biomedical science course at university right now. Still handing in the UCAS applications. I'm still brainstorming.
And what sort of job would that lead to?
I'm hoping to do something environmentally because I'm quite passionate about anything natural, from like landscapes, especially Manx landscapes. Like, I've done some ocean tests around the Carfa Man with my dad. I'm quite passionate about that. So yeah.
Okay. On the Isle of Man, for young people though, the range of jobs is quite limited. I mean, if you want to sell insurance or get into online gaming or banking, that seems the majority of the jobs. I mean, if there weren't a job that you could do, would you still stay on the island?
I'd still stay here. I just love this place so much, and it's really, even if I had a job or not, I really don't think it's a choice for me.
Okay. Frank, will you be heading to university?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure about that.
And what sort of subject would you take?
Something to do with music. It sort of changes what I want to do. Like, it's always stayed within music.
Playing or producing music?
Well, it changes every time I think about it. I'm thinking sound engineering possibly, but I'm also really into music production at the moment, so I might want to do that. And I do a lot of like Manx music, especially like, it's really important this year because it's year of the Manx language, doing all these sort of Manx music things. But and I people say to me like, why don't you just go and study like folk trad music, because you know you already know stuff about it. And it's, but I feel like I don't want to turn it into a something I have to study. Yeah, I'd rather keep it as a hobby, and then because I feel like if as soon as you start doing something like in education where you've got exams, it's sort of, I don't know, you get a bit sick of it.
Do you produce music at the moment?
I am. So for Year of the Manx Language, actually, I've been asked to create this sort of Manx album just to like celebrate the language, and so I'm doing that at the moment.
Have you finished it yet?
I haven't finished it yet. No, it's close though. It's close.
And when do you think it might come out?
probably in a month or two. I'm trying to get it done for around the... I'm going to do a little promo here, actually. Uncrunyacht Festival is a big... It's the biggest, like, Manx celebration on the island, apart from maybe Timmall Day or whatever. But it's a whole week, 27th of July to the 2nd of August this year. All around the island, mainly in Peel, loads of different concerts on. And I think it's so great because you see people, like, I've brought some of my friends to these events. They've been reluctant at first, but then they end up coming every night because they just enjoy it so much. And then they're like, they just fall in love with it as well.
What's the album called, Frank?
I don't think I can say it. No, I haven't decided yet. I haven't decided yet. So, you know, it'll come in due time.
All right. We're going to be back at Peel at QE2 in just a moment.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
At Bagode Cattery, we've been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for our customers' cats and treat them as our own. Visit bagode.com or call 321 989.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance, a choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Brother, we have crossed the black seas of man. We fear no storm, no wave, no...
Olaf, what is a tin bath?
The legendary Tin Bath Championships in Castletown.
Enter, we shall, and become undisputed kings of the Manx Sea.
I shall represent our clan.
You cannot even swim.
I can.
You cannot.
I can.
You cannot.
The 55th World Tin Bath Championships return this Timbled weekend, 4th of July, Castletown Harbour, 2 p.m. Enter now, worldtinbaths.com. Entries close 27th of June. Sponsored by IFGL in association with Manx Radio. Go on. Get your bum in a bath.
Manx Radio Summer of Football, brought to you by Walton's Electrical Store.
And with all the action now well underway across the USA, Canada and Mexico, we've teamed up with Walton's to give you the chance to win a 55-inch TV. To win, all you have to do is work out the famous footballer in the weekly post that will be pinned to the top of the Manx Radio Facebook page. Then listen out to greatest hits every weekday evening from 7 and Saturday live between 1 and 5 each weekend until the 19th of July for your chance to get your name in the big prize draw.
Enjoy a better picture with a new TV from Walton's for perfect football enjoyment. Walton's have offers across a wide range of TVs and electrical items in store.
This is the Man in Line on location.
And at QE2 I can't remember who was on next. Brad Pitt. Karen's did. Brad Pitt. I understand you were on the... You were on the scene. You were on the set.
Yeah, I was. I was an extra in the TT movie.
And what part was your extra? What did you do?
Well, most of the time I just walked by Sharon Tatum, and that was about it.
Did he say hello, Karen, or at all?
No, I didn't get any speaking lines, unfortunately.
And you were a paid extra, is that right?
I was. I haven't been paid yet.
You've not been paid yet?
Time will tell.
So, I mean, how was the experience?
Yeah, it was interesting. There was a lot of waiting around on set, but when we were actually doing scenes, it was quite cool.
Good. So, when did they say when the film's out?
No. Probably in a year or two.
Yeah. Do you think it'll be a big boost to the TT?
Yeah, I think it will be.
Because the other one that came out, the one close to the edge, that was really big. Are you a TT fan?
Moderately, yeah.
What does that mean?
I don't keep up with it that much, but I watch the races every once in a while.
And you like the buzz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The atmosphere is pretty cool at the grandstand and all.
And did they seem happy? Because obviously the weather was against them. Did they get everything done that they needed? You know?
Oh, yeah, I think they did. Other than on the last day that I was meant to be an extra, it got cancelled, I think due to weather.
Right. Oh, I want to ask you this. Karen, do you think vaping has peaked among young people?
Yeah.
Do you think it's on the way out?
No.
Oh, it's still happening, is it?
I believe so.
Yeah. You don't have to say. I'll ask Frank then. Frank, are more young people vaping than before?
I think so. I mean, I haven't seen it slow down. I only ever, you know, see Ali's gadgets get more busy. So, yeah. I mean, it sort of speaks for itself. I think it's
pretty
obvious.
It was supposed to be. I mean, vaping was supposed to be for older people to stop smoking.
Yeah, well, I think Oni said this like earlier in the interview. Like, the branding is just made so purposefully to be directed at this generation. And I haven't really looked into it. I don't know why. I don't know what it is that they're trying to do with that, to be honest. But,
But they're unregulated, aren't they, a lot of the vapes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's getting pretty bad, I'd say, like, with how accessible they are.
Yeah. TK, how can we stop young people vaping?
I think you just need tighter regulations, you know. Always ask for ID, number one, because, like, there's so many places which won't ask for ID. It's so common. And, like, another thing, just sell them in places where only adults are allowed, because children can get to any place. And for me personally, I know people who are underage who can access those things easily. So I think it's a big problem. Yeah,
but why would a young person, I mean, vapes aren't full of vitamins.
No, they aren't. They're, far from it.
Yeah, why would a young person want to vape?
I don't know. It could be peer pressure, number one. Number two, or just trying to fit in. You know, I think some people do these things to try to fit in with an older group of people. But then realistically, it's just a waste of time. You're wasting your life away. And yeah, just no point.
Kira?
There was a rule, I'm not sure if it passed, in the UK that means everyone born after 2008 will not be able to buy vapes or cigarettes in the UK. So I don't know if that's passed, but I've definitely seen a lot about it. I think maybe that could be a thing in the Isle of Man, possibly.
And so do you think, as TK said, is it peer pressure why young people vape?
Well, yes.
Can't be the taste.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't know. It's always been that question. I mean, before it was vaping, it was smoking. Before that, I'm not sure what it was. But, like, we've never really had a clear answer to it. And smoking was not advertised towards young kids, you know, the same way that vapes are. So I don't think we can fully push it on that. Maybe it's following role models, you know, like your dad smokes, you go, oh, that's so cool. And I don't know.
Oni?
I think part of it is, like, the fact that people, like younger, like, people might feel like it's a bit grown up. Like, they're not doing it because it's, like, for their health or anything. They're doing it because it's exactly not for their health. So, like, it feels like a bit of a break of the rules and a bit of a rebellion.
That's always been the way, Arnie. I'm sure if we'd come to QE2 umpteen years ago, there would have been people in the back sheds smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's always happened. And it used to be movie stars, film stars who smoked cigarettes. I remember back in the 80s and 90s, Madonna started smoking.
Yeah.
And young women started smoking because of that. So, I mean, how do you tell a young person it's not good for you, you shouldn't be doing it?
I think it's a difficult one because I think young people are hard to be told. Like, I think, yeah, like TK said, the restrictions and IDing and stuff like that. I think the marketing as well is a big issue and could be, like, I think vape-wise, then there's no reason why they shouldn't have the same, like, images that cigarette packets have on them.
Is vaping more of a problem than alcohol for young people?
Oh, I don't know.
Because vapes seem to be available all the time, whereas booze isn't.
That's true. I think there is tighter restrictions on alcohol. Like, you can't just go into a shop and buy whatever because you get asked, like, you'd get asked for ID. And I think the fact that it is a bit more lenient with vaping is problematic.
Chantel?
I don't think the restrictions with vaping and drinking are quite similar. Like what Oni said, there are more restrictions on, like, booze than there are on vaping, which is also quite bad because, like, someone can just go up and, like, say, oh, can I have this vape? And they're kind of like, okay, whatever. As long as I'm getting money out of it, it's okay. But, like, when it comes to booze, like, they know they'll get in trouble if they sell it, because it's quite, you can quite obviously tell when someone has a drink in their hand, but not so much when they have a vape in their
hand. So the retailers should get stiffer penalties.
Yeah, that as well, because they kind of just, they can clearly tell that you're not of age to be buying it, but they still just give it to you because they're like, I'm gaining something out of it, so it's not really my problem what they do with it, as long as I'm gaining from it.
Okay, Frank.
I was just saying, like, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like as the years go on, since like vaping sort of became popular, like, especially on the Isle of Man, you, like, when we were like in year seven or whatever, year nine, no one in our year ever, like, as far as I'm aware, ever went into that. But now we're in year 12, you see like younger years doing it, when you didn't, like, it's getting younger and younger every year.
Why do you think that is, Frank?
I don't, it's just becoming more and more popular, I think, and kids are just seeing other people doing it more and more. They're having more exposure to it.
Is it social media?
I don't know, because I don't see, like, I don't know about anyone, I don't see a lot of stuff about vaping on social media. Like, if it's like, maybe it's the BBC's reporting on it or something, but you don't usually see, like, pro-vaping, like, stuff anywhere.
Okay.
I don't think.
Julianne.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, what Frank said. Like, there's not really anything on social media that talks about, like, oh, you should do this or you shouldn't do this.
But there are influencers, aren't there?
There are influencers who do it, yeah, sure. But, like, no one's telling you directly to do it on social media. It's more like the group around you in school. And also, going back to, like, younger kids, because it gets younger and younger, I do see, like, there's a lot of... Because before, I wasn't allowed to go out on my own until I was, like, 13. And there's so many kids who are like 10 who are allowed to go out for as long as like 8 p.m. I had a curfew and I still have a curfew, which I also think is a problem for young children to be exposed to.
Okay, Chantel.
Back to the whole like social media, like showing vape stuff. It's also kind of stuff that you search up as well, because it is your algorithm at the end of the day. So like if you set it up to show stuff like that, then that's kind of like you setting yourself up for failure. So like, anyway, like if vapes are coming up on your social media, it means you've searched it up before or have like mentioned it in a way for it to come up on your social media, which again goes back to the
algorithm doesn't lie, does it?
Yeah. So
all right, who's going to win the World Cup, Chantel?
Well, at the moment, like what Tom Pico said, I'm kind of going for France as well, because they do have quite a powerful team.
Jacob, who's going to win the World Cup?
Yeah, I would.
You don't care, do you?
Not really, no.
Okay. All right, let's get to Karen. Who's going to win the World Cup, Karen?
I mean, I'm hoping that Scotland will win, personally.
Frank, who's going to win the World Cup?
To be honest, I do like sort of follow it like last time we had like a whole thing for the finale. We all watched it together. I'm not staying up at 3 a.m., but I am sort of watching it. That being said, I have no sort of idea, to be honest. I mean, I'm from Wales and I know they already like kicked the bucket, but you
know. That's it. We've been live at QE2 today in Peel. WINT.